Hey, Ryan, since you're not going to the game, where are you planning on watching the Wildcats?
I'll be stuck at the office, but I wish I could be lounging at home in front of my TV.
Yeah, me too. I've been thinking about getting like a big comfy recliner from Sam Levitt's Furniture.
Ooh, stylish.
Sam Levitt's Furniture has specials on a wide selection of recliners, so you can watch the game in style. You can check out a bunch of options at their Tucson locations. I'm thinking of getting one with swivel action.
Ooh.
But I kind of like the one I saw with cup holders.
Well, while Justin makes up his mind about which recliner he likes best, let's talk some sports.
From the Arizona Daily Star and Tucson.com, this is the Wildcast.
Welcome to the Wildcast podcast. I'm Star Sports Editor Ryan Finley, here with Greg Hansen. GH, busy week of Arizona basketball. Wildcats take on Colorado here Thursday night at McHale, and then it's Larry Kraskowiak and our old friends, the Utah Utes, here on Saturday. On paper, this is Arizona's series to win, but there's more to it than that. Both these teams are pretty decent.
Pretty decent, though. Is that an indictment on Pac-12 this year?
Yes. Right? I mean, this is not the league we thought it would be. I mean, Oregon's not very good, as we saw a couple weeks ago. Arizona goes up to Stanford. Stanford had a pretty good record, but I thought just – can we say peed their pants on radio? I think we can. Mm-hmm. Stanford, I think, kind of peed their pants at the end of that game. Cal's not very good. I mean, this is not a good league.
Yeah, and, you know, last year the Pac-12 had six number one draft picks.
Right.
I'd kind of forgotten that.
Yeah.
Who recovers from that?
Right. Well,
the ACC would, but the Pac-12 won't.
Right.
USC, I thought, had the best chance to have their best team since the 70s, mm-hmm. and hasn't happened, and it's not going to happen.
Right. Arizona State, I mean, was ranked in the top five.
Yeah.
Was ASU ranked number three in the country a month ago?
And some of those other polls had them, at least one of them had them number one.
Right, right. And they, I mean, they've not really delivered yet either. It's a weird year, I think. I mean, really, with the exception of Arizona, who has a superstar?
The other day, I was in my head going, okay, who are the 10 all Pac-12 players?
Right.
I only got to eight.
Okay.
After that, I said, oh, maybe not, maybe so. Eight is what I arrived at. And six, seven, and eight were kind of borderline guys.
Right. Even you look at a place like UCLA, who, and Arizona fans will kill me, I think UCLA and Arizona are the two standard bearers for this league, mm-hmm. year in and year out. Who does UCLA have?
Aaron Holiday gets treatment like he's a star, but is he?
No.
I don't think so.
I don't think so either. And it's just strange. I mean, DeAndre Ayton obviously brings as much star power to Tucson as we've ever seen. Right? Mm-hmm. I mean, this guy has a chance to be the number one player taken in the draft. But look around the rest of the league. There's just not – who scares you?
Reed Travis.
Yeah.
But then in the first 34 minutes of the Arizona game, I thought, man, Reed Travis could be the player of the year in the league.
Right.
And then where'd he go?
Right. Where'd he go?
He down made no right. plays.
Right. That I thought was a really interesting game. And, you know, we can talk about causation and causality and all those fancy pants words. Fact is, Arizona really started to get it together after Sean Miller got a tech for telling a ref something you. I know a word that we cannot say on the podcast, and that was a word Sean Miller said. Then Arizona goes on this run. I find it impossible to believe that Miller, you know, screaming. If Miller telling a ref to go F himself would spark Arizona, he'd never stop doing it, right? But, I mean, that was a really interesting final, whatever, 8 minutes of the game. Mm-hmm. Arizona's down 10. And Stanford shooting free throws following that Miller tech, and all of a sudden Arizona rallies to win the game. What did you make of it down the stretch there?
I watched the replay on the Pac-12 Network Monday, and paid particular attention in the last 8 minutes just for the question you asked.
Right.
I couldn't believe Stanford just withered.
Yeah.
I mean, that Humphreys guy, 6'10", 6'11", guy, who had been so good, just couldn't do it.
Right.
Dusan Ristic got free for like three straight two-footers.
Right.
And Stanford just disappeared.
Right. I was told this as a kid, Greg, that, you know, good teams find a way to win and bad teams find a way to lose.
Yeah.
To me, that was Stanford advertising to the rest of the league that they're not a good team. I'm not sure there's a lot of killer instinct on that team.
A game to watch, I believe it's tonight on the Pac-12 Network or whatever channel it's on, is Stanford at USC.
Right.
Right now, I think they might be number two and number three in the league.
Right.
Stanford could go away after tonight.
Sure.
And could ASU is going to sneak back in to some degree because they're going to beat Colorado and Utah at home.
Right.
So maybe ASU by this time next week will be up there number two again.
And maybe ASU will be good again by the time they play the U of A. Yeah. Yeah. It's strange, Greg. You mentioned USC a couple times. There's great expectations there. Obviously, they were caught up in the same FBI thing that Arizona has been caught up in. Tad Boyle at Colorado made some headlines a couple weeks ago by saying, hell yes, it felt good to beat.
Yeah.
You know, to do all that. And Sean Miller isn't taking the bait when asked about it this week. But Andy Enfield sure as hell did. Tad Boyle, is he telling it like it is? Or is he beyond the pale?
Beyond the pale, that's a good one. He's one of the few coaches in the league, and I've noticed it since Colorado got in the league, who's willing to say what's on his mind.
Right.
Remember about 3 years ago when Xavier Johnson said Arizona, they don't even consider Arizona a big rival?
Right.
Something like that?
Yep.
But Boyle, I've been up to games at Colorado four or five times. Mm-hmm. He stands up and says what he thinks.
Right.
Who else will in this league?
No.
Maybe Bobby Hurley will. Sean Miller.
Sometimes. When it's beneficial.
Yeah, yes. He's very calculated. I like Tad Boyle because he's not a guy who shrinks.
Right. And how about this? First of all, we can assume everybody cheats a little bit, right, in basketball?
Mm-hmm.
All right, whether it's selective enforcement of NCAA rules or whatever it would be. I'm not saying Tad Boyle is squeaky clean, but you better be pretty clean if you're going to start calling out teams that cheat.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're a school like Colorado, and if you were doing things the right way, and if you see the team like Arizona that has every advantage, right, a team like USC, frankly, that has all the money in the world, is, in your mind, doing things above and beyond to get players, I'd be pissed, too. I'd be rubbing it in if my team won, too. Tad Boyle doesn't bother me for running his mouth.
No.
I to a certain extent, would understand. But that all presupposes that Arizona and USC are cheating as badly as Tad Boyle thinks they are, and that Colorado isn't doing a lot of the same stuff.
Although it's kind of funny that you mention that. Mm-hmm. Colorado is just good enough to lose every year when it really needs to win.
Right.
They signed, I think in the last 5 years, they got lucky on a couple guys.
Right.
But they signed one big-time player who was like almost a five-star, Dominique Collier. Mm-hmm. He was from Denver.
Sure.
And he's no good.
Right. It's true.
They haven't played the market at the top of the game with everybody else.
Right. It's a really weird, I think, school when it comes to basketball, right? Colorado to me is a football school and will always be a Big Eight football school, right?
Oh, yeah.
But they have some advantages. I mean, when they're playing at home, there's an advantage because they're at elevation, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's a beautiful school and a beautiful campus. I think it reminds me so much of UCLA and Cal a little bit and sort of the culture there. Colorado could be a really appealing place to play basketball, I think, if they ever got it all kind of figured out.
And on game day, this probably matters to me more than most people. On game day, when it's full, when it's been full when Arizona plays there, it's probably the best place in the league.
Wow.
Other than McHale Center.
Okay.
They get, number one, they got the best fight song.
Pretty good.
It's really good.
Pretty good. Pretty good.
They've got, their student section is bigger than most.
Okay.
They all sing that song with their arms waving, you know. And it's been such a terrific atmosphere on game day that I think what you said, that could be a big-time basketball program.
All right. Let's take a left-hand turn here real quick. You've been everywhere. Let's rank them. Best arenas in the Pac-12 to see a game.
On game day.
On game day.
This
Not
this,
best campus, not best weather, not
with
best
With Arizona weather. There.
With Arizona there. So places that you have experienced on game day in the Pac-12. Go.
Well, Mac Court at Oregon was, I mean, no one's in second place.
Right.
Mac Court.
Mac Court. But Mac Court is dead.
Yeah.
Okay.
So the new number one to go to would be, and it gets kind of skewed because if you go to Sun Devil Stadium,
right,
whatever they call it.
Right. Wells Fargo.
When Arizona's there, right, it's really a good atmosphere, right, as you know.
Well, because there are so many Arizona fans there.
And yep, it was almost hard for about a 12-year period to beat Maples Pavilion.
Right.
When Stanford was as good as anybody 6,700 people. It was almost up with Matt Court.
And Washington's in that conversation too, right? I mean, when Washington was good, they have a tiny little arena that's louder than heck.
The Brandon Roy days, that was almost to the Matt Court level.
Right.
They couldn't sustain it. When Cal's been good, that place is another place.
Haas Pavilion, yeah.
Really, really good on game day. Now, when they play Oregon State there in the same year, it's not the same.
But, I mean, you can say that too. Gill Pavilion's a good place to see a game when they're good because it's small and it's loud.
When I lived there and Oregon State was number one in the nation,
right.
Gill Coliseum was paradise to watch a basketball game.
Yeah.
It was the loudest. They had a great fight song.
They do.
They were impossible to beat.
Right.
I couldn't imagine. I remember the time thinking, there's nowhere in the country better than this.
Okay. Let's go from the bottom up then. Worst places. Give me your three least favorite places in the league to watch.
USC's always been awful.
Really? Even Galen Center?
But even when Arizona's been there in the Galen Center, it still doesn't quite have it.
Right. There's no buzz.
No.
Good fight song, though. Really, yes. Really good fight song, but okay.
Still, that to me, that's the worst.
Okay.
Galen Center.
Okay.
Easily.
Okay. I'll tell you what. I grew up going to games here and have been there since, and it doesn't stir any emotion in me whatsoever. Poly Pavilion.
Same, yeah.
Poly Pavilion is a warehouse. I don't like it. It's not loud. It's never full. I mean, maybe I've just been on the wrong nights. But I've always been surprised. There's nothing collegiate to me about a game at Poly Pavilion.
Late arrivers. And
rich guys, late arrivers.
And saying that, I've probably been to at least 15 games there that match top 10 teams.
Right.
And still, I wouldn't put it anywhere near the top.
No. Which is unfortunate. I mean, on one hand, it really does reflect, you know, it's like comparing baseball stadiums, right? Chase Field may not be Yankee Stadium, but it serves the Diamondbacks fans, right? It's a reflection of them. Poly Pavilion's not Cameron Indoor Stadium, but it's a reflection of UCLA fans, I think, who are older, richer. UCLA's basic student fan base. It's not kids don't go there because of the basketball. You know, you don't go there to sleep in line for tickets. It's bad. Well, let's see.
Well, Washington State. Let's redo this. Washington State is the worst. Then Galen Center at USC.
Right, because we're sort of splitting hairs with the two LA schools. Like, it should be better, but it's not.
Yeah.
Washington State, it's the only game in town, and it's still a dump.
And Arizona State is a dump. Right. I mean, really a dump.
Right.
On game day when Arizona's there, you don't realize it's such a dump.
Right. And you like Utah. You, as a place to see a game, you're a fan of Utah. Yes.
I went to the first game I ever played there.
No way.
Yeah, 1970.
Wow. Who'd they play?
It was, Santa Clara.
Okay.
Santa Clara against Utah. Brand new arena. At that time, New Mexico, Arizona, both Arizona schools, Utah, BYU, and Utah State all built palaces.
Wow.
They were the best probably in the country.
Right.
And Salt Lake topped them all.
Wow.
That was the best one. Till a year later, BYU trumped it.
Right.
But, you know, 1979, the national championship game was held in Salt Lake. Magic and Bird.
Versus Larry Bird, yes.
That place looks exactly the same. It hasn't changed. They've kept it up so well. They've got the new video boards now.
Sure.
And underneath, the infrastructure is all brand new.
Right.
But if you're sitting in the stands, it's 1970 there still.
Wow.
They filled it then. They fill it now. I love it.
Well, McHale. Where does McHale fit in all this? Because I'm going to preface this by saying I have kind of a love-hate relationship with McHale Center. I think when it's going good, it's fantastic. I think its baseline is sad, though. It's Tuesday night and they're playing Long Beach State. It might be full, but it's not loud.
Yeah.
There's a lot of down in front going on at McHale Center when it should be louder.
Isn't that the same everywhere?
Probably, yeah.
I've only been, the two best arenas I've been other than Mack Court.
Right.
I went to Duke, and I went to Kansas.
Yeah. Oh, I love Kansas.
Kansas is the best I've ever been at.
Me too.
But I'm wondering what it's like at Kansas when they're playing Longwood.
Right. Yeah, and I've seen Kansas play Missouri there. I mean, that's their big hated rival. So obviously everybody's going to be loud the whole game. But when you went, were you there for Candygate? Is that that game?
Yes.
Is that a day game?
In Arizona, Arizona won by about 20.
You got the light coming in through the...
Oh, it was like you're in a movie. It really was. It was like Hoosiers.
Yes. That is, by the way, If my career and life were to end right now and you said, tell me 10 things you learned covering college sports, near the top of that list is Lawrence, Kansas is beautiful.
Yes.
You wouldn't think it. It's hilly. Their campus looks to me so much like UCLA. You got the big clock tower on the hill. Their basketball arena is beautiful. Their football stadium is beautiful. It is not at all what you think of when you think of Lawrence, Kansas college campus in the middle of nowhere. It's beautiful.
Of all things, I went to the NCAA cross country championships in Lawrence, Kansas.
As one does, yes, yes.
In late November, and because Arizona had two threats to win it all. Yeah. Anyway, I thought the same thing. That was my first time in Kansas, and I went, wow. What a great spot.
I know. I was expecting it to look like Oklahoma State, you know, flat, boring.
Tulsa.
Yeah, Tulsa. And it's not. It's just beautiful. Greg, I'd be remiss if we didn't touch on Kevin Sumlin here just real quick before we wrap up. He will announce a new staff here any day now. We were talking before we came in here, taking odds as to whether there's going to be an Arizona man on that staff. What do you think?
I would say no right now.
Right.
And Ricky Huntley will not be part of it. Okay. He wanted to be.
Uh-huh.
So is he going to hire Chuck Cecil?
Right.
And he wouldn't be the coordinator. Maybe he could name Chuck Cecil assistant head coach.
Okay.
I mean, am I just the only one here, a lone wolf, saying Chuck Cecil would be a good hire?
I don't know. I think there's somebody. I mean, to me, somebody like a Joe Salavea makes a ton of sense. The issue is this. Joe Salavea has a multi-year contract and a buyout. He has a buyout. The thing with the buyout is voided if he is named a coordinator or receives a play-calling position, right? Can you fudge it and bring him in as a co-defensive coordinator with Marcel Yates? And even if you can do that, what would you have to pay him? I mean, Kevin Sumlin's assistant coaching pool is $3.3 million, something like that, spread over 10 assistants. So that's an average of $330,000 per guy.
Mm-hmm.
Good money. But what if Joe Salavea is making $700,000? Can you make the money work?
Almost every league school in the Pac-12 has a coach making $700,000 or very close to it.
Right.
Because Joe's making $650,000.
Right.
So Marcel Yates at $500,000 or $525,000
right.
is right now Arizona's highest paid coach we know of.
Right.
They hired Noel Mazzone to be the offensive coordinator.
You got to think it'd be right there.
He's probably... I would guess at Texas A&M, he was a minimum 500.
I think he made 8.
Yeah. He's not.
He won't make 8 here.
No.
But he can make 550.
Yeah. So I'm really intrigued by who these coaches are going
to
be.
Totally. And, you know, it's funny when they announce it. Obviously, you know, you can go to the message boards and all that and get sort of hints as to who they might be. But to me, it's more so much more about fit than resume. You know, I think you need to find somebody who can recruit Polynesian players. I will say this until they hire somebody who will. I think it's important that you get somebody who can recruit Los Angeles. I think it's important, and we saw the mistakes that both Mike Stoops and Rich Rod made. They both came in here, and they did not hang on to anybody who was on staff. And they did not bring in people with any history in the Pac-12 whatsoever. They figured they would just wing it, right? And really, they suffered in recruiting in the short term because of it. There needs to be somebody with Pac-12 ties. I mean, does Noel Mazzone count since he was at ASU in UCLA?
Yeah, and Demetrius Martin of UCLA, apparently he's going to be a defensive coach.
Right, he would make some sense.
So they would have some, a lot more than Rich Rod had.
Right. And you would think that they'd recruit Texas better.
Oh, yeah.
And, I mean, if they could go Texas, California, the islands, it's a pretty good base to start from. And certainly put them way ahead of where they were with Rich Rod.
Yeah, I mean, the Polynesian thing is a chronic issue we've talked about since Rich Rod got here.
Yes. Yeah, it'll be interesting. I mean, and keep in mind, Rich Rodriguez is a guy who had to be talked into recruiting Texas. He had to be talked into recruiting the islands. I mean...
But he was recruiting Washington, D.C.
It's true.
And Florida.
Georgia. Georgia. I'm sure it had nothing to do with the lake house he had in Georgia.
Yeah.
None whatsoever. All right. Well, hopefully there will be football news to talk about here in the coming days. It's strange to have a couple slow days, Greg. It feels like we've been going kind of nonstop.
Yeah, it was fun.
It was fun. It was fun. These coaching searches, it's a lot of work, but from our standpoint, it's certainly fun. And thank you for all of your help really leading the charge there. It's been fantastic. So,
All right.
Well, that'll do it for this episode of the Wildcast. For Greg Hansen, I'm Ryan Finley. I promise I will feel better and stop sniffling next week. We'll see you next time.